We turn to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. We finally move along from the fourth chapter of Ephesians, and we're going to preach a number of sermons out of Ephesians 5 in our series. We'll read the first 21 verses of this chapter. Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 21. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This far we read the Word of God tonight. Our text this evening is found in verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Fellow saints in the Church of Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, in this letter we are studying, is writing a letter to a particular institute, a particular congregation that was established in the city of Ephesus. He gives these saints in the church there instruction about the church itself and their place in that church. He set forth for them the beautiful truths concerning the church of Jesus Christ and how these saints had become members of the body of Christ in this world. Now Paul has entered into that section of his letter that applies these specific truths to the practical lives and labors of God's people. Because this letter is written to a particular church institute, a congregation, we can take this letter that is written to the Ephesians and apply it to ourselves as well. We can apply it to ourselves because we are members of the Church of Jesus Christ in this world. Yes, I know we are yet only a fellowship, but we stand intimately related to and connected with the work of the Church Institute in this world, and we too are a part of that labor. What Christ through Paul writes to the Ephesian saints, therefore, is what God Himself writes to you and to me as members of the Church of Jesus Christ here tonight. A couple of weeks ago, we have considered together our relationship to one another in the church and how we as fellow members in the Church of Jesus Christ, are called to deal with one another. We were commanded at that time to put away all bitterness, aggravation, wrath, anger, arguing, and evil speaking. Then we were commanded to replace these vices or sins with kindness, tenderheartedness, and with forgiveness. That is how we were called by this particular letter to deal with one another in the realm of the church. It's no doubt that we are called upon to deal with others outside of the church in these same ways. But nevertheless, that particular calling that was given to us, an exhortation in chapter 4 yet, is meant to instruct you and me as to how we are to deal with each other within the confines of the church. Now Paul has passed on from that subject of how we are to deal with each other and begins to address how we are to deal with the unbelief and the sins of the present world around us. Starting in verse 3 of chapter 5 here, Paul gives us instruction in how we are to deal with those who are walking now in unbelief. In verses 3 through 6 of the chapter that we read, the command is very, very clear. Sins of the wicked society in which we live must not become or must not be named among us as becometh saints. We read, "But fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." And then, of course, the clear and unequivocal command that Christ gives us in verse 7, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them." These are the sins of the world. These are the sins that characterize unbelievers, that is, those who have no fear of God before their eyes. And we must not be partakers of those sins together with them. On the contrary, those who walk in such sins are children of the darkness, and you and I are children of the light. And therefore, we are called upon to walk as children of the light. That's the positive injunction of the Word of God that we have before us this evening. We are to walk as children of the light, and that is our theme tonight too, walk as children of light. In the first place, we want to consider the reality. This is the reality. We are children of the light. We want to consider that first of all. Then secondly, the command or the exhortation that we receive in connection with that reality. And then finally, the result. So we have the reality, the command, and the result. Light versus darkness. The Apostle Paul could not have chosen a better figure to illustrate the spiritual difference between the believer on the one hand as opposed to the unbeliever on the other hand. It is either light or darkness. It is either day or night. These are opposites. And in that light we read the passage which we consider. "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light." Paul brings up in the passage that we have before us tonight the fact that we were at one time darkness. Now, as opposed to that at one time, we are children of light. By pointing this out to us, God's Word here forces you and me to examine ourselves, to take a look at our own lives in this world, and what we have experienced in the way of sin and darkness, as well as the light. We know the difference between light and darkness. We do not really even have to be told the difference between light and darkness because we know it personally. We've experienced what darkness is in life, and we know what the light of salvation is too. We know how horrible darkness, the darkness of sin, can be in this life. We also know what God has done for us in saving us from that darkness and instilling in our hearts the light of our salvation. You see, spiritual darkness refers to the condition of our hearts and minds prior to our salvation. It refers to the bondage of our will, the bondage of our mind, the bondage of our heart to Satan. The fact that everything that we desired at one time in this life was enslaved to sin. Darkness refers to our depravity, our corruption, and that to total corruption or depravity in our lives. There was no light in us at all. It was darkness. We were blind. And when one is blind, that's all he sees, you know, is darkness. We were blind, unable to see the glory of God, unable to see even the horrible reality of sin in our own lives, unable to see the beauty that is found in the cross of Jesus Christ. The things of the kingdom of God were hidden from you and me. Our desires were entirely of this world, and that is all. We wanted nothing more than what this present sinful world had to offer. And when we were told about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, about our sin, about our need for salvation, we were in total darkness of heart and mind, and we imagined that we didn't need any of that. That this life was perfectly fine. And that if there was an afterworld, we would go to it not because of anything other than the fact that we were good people and we helped everybody else out in this world. There was no fear of God before our eyes at that point. Everything was dark. Everything was blackness. And we know that. But that darkness of sin includes more too, you see, because when the Bible speaks of the darkness of sin, then it includes in that the punishment for sin. We sit, the psalmist tells us, in the darkness of the shadow that death itself casts over you and me. And because of our sins, we are liable to punishment. A punishment that we cannot of ourselves escape. And the punishment that is due us is to be cast into the outer darkness of hell, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that because of the character of our sin. Sin, you understand, is rebellion over against God. And every sin that we commit as rebellion against Him will not go unpunished. So we sit beneath the shadow of death, and it spreads its darkness over you and me. But such darkness in the life of the child of God has been dispelled. What was true of us then, at one time in our life, is no longer true of us now. We are children of the light. The darkness of soul, the bondage of sin that totally enveloped our hearts and souls is taken away. No, driven away from you and me. And it's not as if you and I were able to drive that darkness of sin away of ourselves or of our own choosing. We sat in the shadow of sin and of death. But we, again the psalmist tells us, who have sat in that shadow of sin and death, have seen a great light. And that light that has shone upon you and me is the light of God's countenance, the light of His love, the light of the working of God's grace in our hearts. And only as we can see that light now within you and me can we understand as well the calling that we have to walk in the light. What is that light? Before we consider what it is, people of God, before we pass on from talking about darkness to talking about the light, let's reflect on that darkness that at one time was in us. What is it that we see in our hearts now? Darkness or light? The light of salvation. What is it? Do we know from what we have been delivered when we talk about what sin is and the darkness of sin? And are we able to see the light of God's countenance now shining in us, dispelling the night of sin? Only as we can look back, you understand, at that one time in our lives and look back across it in disdain and in horror, we will be able to appreciate what it is to be children of the light. Now, that light that shines, quite obviously, does not shine in everybody. In fact, that light does not shine in most people in this world. That's the error of many a modern theologian, it seems. They contend that every man and woman and child in this world has vestiges of that light of God within them. It's the light of that image of God that every man seems to bear in this world, they say. And for that reason, every man has a right to be happy and to find peace and joy in this life, and even to think positively about himself in this life, because, well, he has certain vestiges of God left in him. There's a little bit of light yet in every man that has fallen into sin. They can discover God and they can discover salvation. And if they can't, well, they still have a joy and they still can have a peace within their hearts. That error is really nothing more than humanism. And that certainly is not what the passage before us tonight is teaching us. Fallen man in Adam has lost the image of God. He has no reason to think positively of himself, and he has no reason to think that there is any light of God's countenance that shines in him. He is lost, totally lost in his darkness, and he is miserable. He lacks contentment in his life, and his life is one of restlessness, even though he might say to us that that's not true of himself. We know that well. We know that well. Because at one time, that was true of you and me in our lives. Notice what Paul teaches in our text here concerning the light. Now he says, you are light in the Lord. There's the qualifying phrase. Only when we are in Christ, that is, only when we have been grafted into Jesus Christ so that we have become one with Him, only when we are in Christ and have been made partakers of His light and life is the darkness of sin and the guilt of sin and the punishment of sin dispelled as Christ hung upon the accursed tree. Upon Him were laid all of our sin, all of our guilt, and He bore those sins on the cross. He carried them with Him as He suffered hell. And in doing so, Jesus Christ on the cross is the one who conquered sin for us. That's why we are children of light in the Lord. That's the particular name that the apostle uses to designate our Savior here in this passage. Christ is our Lord. Has set us free from the bondage of sin and Satan in our lives. Christ, as the conquering Lord, has done away with our darkness. And what is more, Christ, as our Lord, fought against our enemies and conquered the hold that those enemies had on you and on me in our lives. He faced Satan at the cross, and He ruined the part or the power of Satan over against you and me, so that Satan's no longer has his grasp on us in our lives. Having then fought the battle there at the cross, our Lord has risen from the dead and has conquered sin and death for you and me in that resurrection, sealed our pardon from sin. He took away our guilt and the punishment due us on account of that sin. So Christ took away our darkness. He took away sin. He took away the grasp of sin on us. And He took away our death, the punishment of our sin. And that's our light. The life that you and I have freely received through the work of Jesus Christ is the light that shines in our hearts. And it's a light that Christ bestows on you and me through His Spirit. Sends forth that Spirit of light into our hearts. And the life of Jesus Christ now dwells in us by that Spirit. And now we are given eyes to see and hearts that understand the things of the kingdom of heaven. No longer blackness. Our eyes have been opened and we are able to see. And we become children of the light. Children of the light. Through that work of our Savior, Jesus Christ, God, who is the light, because in Him there is no darkness, that God adopts us to be His very own children. And because we're imitators of God, as Paul tells us in verse 1 of this chapter, as dear children, because we imitate our Heavenly Father who is the light, so also are you and I become the light in this world. Because we follow in the footsteps of our Heavenly Father and we imitate Him in all that we do, we have become children of the light. That's the gospel to you. And that's the gospel to me. That's the good news of salvation. We've been delivered from darkness. We've been made God's very own children who walk in the light. Now, the figure of light and darkness before us tonight also compels us to consider another truth, a truth that we ought not to ignore. A light shines. Light never stays hidden. A light shines. It sends forth rays of light, and those rays dispel the darkness. And those rays of light are evident in children of the light as well. We shine forth, you see. Our light shines forth. It does that by means of our good works that we bring forth in this world. The works that you and I perform stand in stark contrast to the works of darkness that we find in this world. Paul really, in the context of the verse that we're considering, shows that contrast too. In verse 11, he talks about the unfruitful works of darkness. There's unfruitful works of darkness that are found all around us in this wicked world. That is all darkness, remember. Let's consider what that is. The unfruitful works of darkness that we see around us. What the wicked world teaches you and me concerning social and moral issues in this life. What the world teaches us through its education. All you have to do is enter into the educational system once of this world. You'll be exposed to the teachings of what this unbelieving world is teaching us about our world and life view and about the moral issues of today. What it teaches us in its media. And what I mean by media is every form of it. Television. It's magazines. And it's books. It's internet. What it teaches us in its songs. What it teaches us through its arts is all darkness. It's all darkness. There's no light in it. What the unbelieving world has to say about our single life. What it has to say about dating and marriage and sex. And what it has to say about the role of a husband and a wife toward one another in marriage. What it has to say about having children and how we ought to raise those children is all darkness. In these areas of life, the children of darkness walk in sin and they walk in immorality. Bringing forth fornication and covetousness and idolatry, as Paul says in the verses that are a little earlier in the chapter. And neither ought we to think that those who walk in darkness do not have an agenda in all of this. Satan certainly has an agenda. The godless philosophy that is maintained, is pressed upon everyone in this world from those who are the authorities on social and moral issues. They're pressed on you and me as members of our society. The works of darkness that we see are all around us. They're all around us in this world. And though we are now children of the light, that does not automatically dispel from you and me those unfruitful works of darkness in our own thoughts and in our own lives. We oftentimes have been born and raised according to the sinful principles and the sinful patterns of this wicked world so that those sinful thoughts and patterns become a part of our life. They've been ingrained in you and me from childhood on so that we begin to look at things in the way that the wicked world always looks at them. And oftentimes we're not even fully aware of that, how that has been pushed into us, ourselves, in times past. You can hardly pick up a novel today. We cannot watch a TV program today or listen to a song, it seems, of this world anymore that does not expose us in one way, shape, or form to an ungodly world and life view. The darkness that we see in our present world. As believers who are now children of the light, we have to be able to discern, you see, and do that wisely between what is that of darkness and what is that of light. Now, as opposed to these unfruitful works of darkness, there are also the deeds of light that ought now to reveal themselves in the child of God in a very positive way. These deeds are the fruits of the Spirit. They are deeds that flow forth out of lives that are now dedicated to serving God and hearts in which the Spirit Himself has taken up His abode and works there. They're deeds that follow strictly the commandments of God and the injunctions of His Word. Ah, there it is. The injunctions of His Word. The Scriptures. We want the key to the light that dwells within us. Here's the light that dwells within you and me. God's Word is that light that shines upon our pathway in this world. Here is the objective guide according to which you and I must pattern our lives if we are to walk in the light. We are able to overcome the unfruitful works of darkness by walking by the Word and, of course, by the Spirit that dwells within you and me. Everything that we may have learned about this world and life in it, we now take, as children of the light, we now take everything that we might have learned and we reevaluate it according to the objective standard of God's Word. And through that Spirit that dwells within us, imparting to you and to me a new life. God's Word and Spirit change us. They change us radically in our lives. So that you and I, as believers, view life so much differently now. We ought to. So much differently than the unbelieving world around us. The way that we view single life, it's different. The way that we view marriage, it's different than the godless society around us. The way we view sex is totally different than the ungodly world around us. The way we view our children, the way that we view the instruction that we are called upon to give our children is so much different, radically different than the world around us. So that when we compare our lives of darkness to our lives now in the light, everything has become revamped. Everything has become changed. And our lives become so much different than what they were before. And the result is that we bring forth the fruits of the Spirit in our life and we walk in the light. Now, keeping the commandment that we have before us in this passage, walk as children of light, is easier given than what it is obeyed. We carry with us vestiges, leftovers of sin in us. We have a sinful flesh. Horrible, sinful flesh. We're prone by nature to listen what the darkness has to say about life and teach us about life. And in so many different instances, even though we are redeemed children of God, we give in and we allow our society around us and our world to shape and to mold, to a certain extent anyway, our own world and life view. We're members of this society in which we live, you see. And without always realizing it, we just like everybody else in society, become so dumbed down that we simply go along with what society says. And who they are in society that make the rules beyond me. But there are those that will set the rules for us and we just simply kind of go along with them. When I was a kid, we never rode a helmet or wore a helmet when we rode a bike. Now we do. And that younger generation will look at me and say, huh, you never wore a helmet? You'll die if you don't wear a helmet. I didn't. But that's what society does, you see, and we just kind of swing along with society. Now, that of course isn't a big issue. That's a little thing. But when our society starts to call good evil and evil good, we better be careful that we don't simply just go along with society. For example, when I was young, society frowned upon premarital sex. You didn't have sex outside of marriage. And society, for the most part, frowned on that. I remember that. Our society decried loudly the sins of abortion and homosexuality. Those were horrible things. Today, these sins permeate our society. And everyone in society thinks that they're perfectly acceptable. They're fine. And when the church decries yet these sins, then everybody looks at the sin or the church as being judgmental and the church as being narrow-minded and bigoted. You can't condemn these people for their lifestyle now. That's what society does. And because society presses these things upon us, the church of today, how much of the church hasn't caved into that? How callous don't we become to that? Anybody have a problem sitting down and watching a TV program that has a gay in it? What a horrible sin. And yet our society and even the church, people of the church, slowly, you see, go along with that. They go along with that. The works of darkness that we find prevalent in our world. Not always very easy for us to keep the commandment that we have before us in this Word of God. Here's the command, the urgent command that we receive. Walk in this dark world as children of the light. Now, no person needs to be commanded to walk in this world. Everybody's walking. Believer and unbeliever alike, we're all walking through this life. The term walk makes reference to the way that one conducts himself as he walks through this present life. And that's why we say that everyone walks. Everyone does. Everyone follows a certain pathway. Everyone follows a certain code of conduct in his or her life as they live in this world. And the path that each individual walks varies. It varies from one individual to the next individual. Your life and my life vary so much, given the particular circumstances of life under which we've been born, the particular families into which we've been born, and so on. Now, we're called to walk as children or as young people. Or as single people, or as married people, or as elderly adults. We are called to walk in this present life. And we do. All walking down our own path. Sometimes those paths are intersecting, sometimes more than less, but we're all walking our own separate life. The big concern of the passage that we have before us, people of God, is this. It does not matter what path you walk. Walk it in the light. Always. That must be the one guiding principle of our lives in this world. As we walk in a world of darkness, whether we're walking that path in school, whether we're walking that path in the church, whether we're walking that path in the place where we work, whether we're walking that path in the recreation that we seek, here's the one guiding principle. Walk in the light. That's our calling. And all the decisions that we make, in everything that we do, we make them as children of the light. In the vocation that I choose, the work that I choose, I do so according to the light. This light, the Word of God. Do I choose a job that will take me away from the church where the truth is preached? What does the Word of God have to say about that? Do I choose a job that will require of me labor on Sunday or joining myself with a godless union? What does the Word of God say about that? In the eyes of the world, those kinds of questions are not even raised. Really, it doesn't matter to them. And when we raise them, we're looked at as if we're some strange lot of people. Why do you even worry about those kinds of things? But they do matter with me. And they matter with me because God's law is written on the fleshy tables of my heart, and I carry it with me everywhere that I go. And that's the light that dwells within me. I'm a child of God who walks in the light. I won't date just anyone as a single person. Certainly not. I will follow the patterns that God's Word lays out for me, and I will seek a believing wife, or I will seek a believing husband. And the best place to look for a believing wife or believing husband is in the church, not in the wicked world where there's all darkness. Light and the darkness don't have anything to do with each other. And when I date that young man and that young woman, I know what the Scripture teaches me about sex and how to walk chastely. I know what the Word of God teaches me about that. I will follow after the Word of God. I know what the Word of God teaches me about marriage and its permanency. I will follow after the Word of God. I know what the Word of God teaches me about children. They're the joy of every parent. The fruit of the womb is my reward, and I'll view my children as that too. And I'll raise them, not according to the godless principles of this present world. I'll raise them according to the Scriptures. I won't be afraid to discipline them. Not just simply by giving them a time out. Walk as children of the light. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Walk in the Spirit. Throw away all of the old patterns that we've developed in our life that characterized us in the past. That's our calling. What places do those who walk in darkness frequent? Where is their abode? Where do they enjoy themselves most often in their sin and in their unbelief? What place do they seek in order that they might be entertained? I won't seek those places because I'm a child of the light and not a child of darkness. I know that the media is teaching me godless principles concerning all of these things that we've mentioned in its movies, in its songs. Now here I am, a child of the light. And I walk up to that door that leads to a particular establishment or place of entertainment. What's on the other side of that door? I'm going to stop and think. We do think, I hope. That's not illegal yet. We do think. What is going to happen when I walk through that door? If there were a big pit of darkness into which I would fall headlong and break my neck. I'd be really, really careful to step inside that door and to fall into that pit. Well, that's what darkness is. It's a pit. If I walk through that door, am I going to walk into the darkness of this present world? Then I'm going to think twice about walking through that door, because I'm a child of the light. And I don't enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Walk in the light. That means saying no to the darkness. That means choosing the path of life as ours. And with purpose true, we walk down that path that leads to the light. The light of heavenly glory. That's the path that I follow. God's Word is so clear. So clear in the passage that we have before us. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Or a little later on in verses 10 and 11, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now when we go and we seek out the unbelieving darkness of this world, we defy what is a very clear teaching of God's Word. I mean, it's not muddied at this point. It's very clear to you and to me. And it is because of one of two things that I would follow or defy that Word of God. Number one, we are so weak a Christian, or such a poor excuse of a Christian, that we decide to walk in darkness despite the clear testimony of God's Word. Very weak Christian. Or, that's either true, or we are not a child of the light, even though we may like to say that we are. We are, in fact, a child of darkness. In either case, the command of the gospel is the same, of course. Turn ye from your wicked ways, for why will ye die, ye house of Israel? Repent and believe. To walk as children of the light requires of us two things. To say no to the way of sin, and to say yes to the ways of God. That is the antithesis. And when we walk as children of the light, that too will be the result that we find in our lives. We will live a life of the antithesis. I will say no to sin consciously in my life. That's not an easy thing to do. We've all got our own sinful flesh. But by God's grace, I will say no to sin. And by God's grace, I will say no to the sinful ways of this wicked world. Whether those ways have infiltrated into the realm of the church or not, I know what darkness is, and I will say no to those ways of darkness. That's the result, first of all, of recognizing that we are children of the light. But that's only a negative. Here is the positive. We become witnesses to the light. We do not take our light and hide it under a bushel. We take our light and we put it upon a candlestick, and it lightens the whole house around us. When we walk as children of the light, then those rays of light will indeed reveal themselves to others. And they will see. They'll see it in our life that we're children of the light. And God uses that in a very real way in the lives of others. God uses the godly witness of His children to bring others to the light as well. That, people of God, ought to give us the incentive that we need. Right there, that alone, the incentive that we need to let our light so shine before men that they may glorify God in heaven. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine all the time. That's the child's hymn. And it's true. We are the light of this world, beloved saints. Walk as children of the light. Amen. Gracious and eternal Father, we are again thankful unto Thee for Thy Word, a Word that comes to us as a sharp warning and exhortation and rebuke, and yet a Word too, Father, that lives and dwells within us and therefore guides us in our lives. We pray that Thou wilt continue to guide us too, that we might walk an antithetical life in this world, saying no to darkness, walking positively in Thy light, so that through the light of salvation we might walk in that way that is pleasing unto Thee, our God, a life of thankfulness unto Thee, and that that path of life and light will lead us unto eternal glory. Where we have failed because we understand, Father, our own sin, and we fail sometimes miserably in our lives, we pray.